Good to be with the body of Christ. I am thankful for your prayers for me and for my family, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We had the pleasure, Sue and I, of going up to northern Wisconsin last week to visit friends, and Faye and Harry Hutchinson were supposed to come, but our sister Faye, Harry's wife, has glaucoma very bad and was unable to come. So we could remember her in our prayers also. Faye Hutchinson. You know, I forget how nice it is in northern Wisconsin at this time of the year, but the highest it got was 64 degrees and the lowest was 40. It was wonderful. Good sleeping, a lot of blankets on you, the window open. No place like it. And I was thankful for the opportunity to go there and to find a place close by to take my dialysis, and we were blessed with a nice trip. I always say this, I say it's so good to be with the body of Christ. You know, I'm reminded that we're the bride of Christ, and we're to prepare ourselves for that day. I'm so thankful that we have an unchangeable God that hears our prayers and our supplications and knows our needs even before we ask, as our brother spoke this morning. For the scriptures that we have before us, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon are yardsticks by which we can measure all things and are to measure all things. Book of Isaiah in the 8th chapter and the 20th verse says, "To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." We have the Bible and the Word of God and the Book of Mormon, the testimony of Jesus Christ. To compare those things that other people are teaching and things that we read to know the truthfulness in them. And we're admonished to do that. We have those records that we have that we're told that. You know, we have the fullness of the gospel therein. I'm going to read from 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, 4 verses, on page 37. 1 Nephi 3, page 37, starting in the 183rd verse. And after that, the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which had been kept back by the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb. Insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they which seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, where they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. We're told when we read the scriptures that referencing the Book of Mormon and the marvelous work and the wonder that was to come forth in the last days, that there would be a book that would come forth from which we'd learn doctrine and see things more clearly and come to understanding. We're to seek to bring Zion. We're to seek the Lord's understanding in all things and allow him to direct us. Let his Holy Spirit rest down upon us and teach us. The last time, last time I preached here, I guess it was sometime in July, I preached and spoke about the Lord's gathering of his people in Zion and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. This time I hope to remind us of some of the scriptures, instruction has been given in how to sanctify our hearts, that we might present ourselves to God and be numbered among the pure in heart. I hope that we, today, that you'll take time and consider the things that the Lord has placed on my heart and consider what's in it for me. Why did the Lord preserve these scriptures? What's it mean? What does he want us to glean from those things? And to remember, even perhaps write some of the things down. We know that the scriptures teach of the Church of Christ. We believe that we are that church on earth today. His kingdom on earth and all the promises to Israel are ours, for we are Israel. We are the bride of Christ. I'm going to read from the 19th chapter of Revelation, two verses. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. We're to praise God. We're to give him honor. We're to be united with him and to make ourselves ready as the bride. I'd like to turn to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And I may or may not read the whole thing. But there's some thoughts I want to get out of there. I therefore, Paul preaching to the Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. We're to serve Christ. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one God, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're to serve Christ. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're reminded that there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, his doctrine that he taught, the principles that he taught and instituted in his church, and one baptism, his baptism, the one with the power and authority as he gave unto men. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up high, he led captivity and gave gifts unto men. I'm going to skip a verse or two and start out with, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the structure of the fullness of Christ. He's given gifts. He's called people to perform his ministry, and we're to edify the body of Christ, to lift us up, to strengthen us, to teach us the principles of the gospel, and to have faith in Jesus Christ. We're to have unity among our beliefs. And it goes on and says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they can lay in wait to deceive. And there's many false teachers out in the world teaching doctrines that are not of Christ. And we're to come. His ministry to call is called to edify the body that we would know the way to walk. But speaking in truth and love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Head of our church, not a man. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're to be fitly joined together. We're to have that desire to be together and be taught and to witness and to testify each other and pray for one and each other that we might overcome the wiles of the devil who desires to confuse us, to separate us, cause contention among us. But we have to come. We have to accept these things. We have to pray about them. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being annihilated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. We're to be different. We're not to be as the others in the world. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness." We're to shed our old beliefs and thoughts, those things that are of the world, set them aside and serve God. Going on, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Never give place to the devil. Don't allow him in your life. And that we only can do by constant prayer, constant thinking of the needs of those around us, looking for ways to serve our Heavenly Father. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you in malice." We aren't to murmur, we aren't to talk down on others, we're to lift them up and bring words of encouragement that we serve a God who knows our needs and is available to us. "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Briefly, it's telling us to come unto Christ and be perfected in him and with him. Accept his grace and love for us and the gifts that he has provided for us to direct us in our life, for the scriptures that he has preserved, that we might read them with understanding. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it tells us things that the Lord hates. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 6, starting in the 16th to the 19th verse. It says, these six things that the Lord hates, yea, even seven are abomination unto him. And he names them: a proud look, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brother. We're to abhor and run from those things, even the thought of them. Have no part of them. We're to look within our own hearts and our minds and examine ourselves and see if we have allowed any of this to enter in. Envy or strife or contention, whatever it might be. And ask God to help us to remove those things from our life. We're to edify each other and strengthen each other in Jesus Christ. We're reminded in the book of Mosiah, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 1, verse 119. It says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God, has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yielded to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." So we're reminded that naturally we're an enemy. We're in our carnal state, and we have a need to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We're to take time and meditate upon things and allow that Spirit to work with us. We're not to prejudge anybody. We're to be a good examples in love. We're to lift each other up. Submissive, weak, humble, full of love, patient, willing to submit all the things that the Lord inflicts upon us. The Lord in the scriptures reminds us here to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and gives us instructions. In Matthew 6:33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We're each day, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his will and desire in our life. Are we doing that? Are we taking advantage of those instructions? Do you understand what he's telling us to do? I've got all these scripture references, but I'm not going to read them. I'm going to talk about them. The next one is from Mark 12, verses 28 to 30. "And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." We're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This is the first commandment. We're to give him our time, our talents, our thoughts, and our actions to him. And the second is like, love thy neighbor as thyself. Those things that we desire for ourselves, we're to desire for those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to create this bond in unity that the evil one cannot break in. Next reading I'd like to read is from Ephesians 1 It's verses 10 and 13. And what I get from it is God is in charge of all things. That we have a need to yield to him. And that he has sealed us with a promise of the Holy, with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're to place our trust and faith in the Holy Spirit will confirm. We're to seek his will in our life. Again in Ephesians, in the third chapter, verses 17 through 19. Says that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, let Christ dwell in our heart. That when we are rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God upon us. It's beyond our imagination. But that we might be filled with the fullness of God. We're to be faithful. Philippians in second chapter tells us to be like-minded with Christ, to be a servant, to serve others. We're to have a loyalness of heart and esteem others better than ourselves. Always thoughtful of those of the needs around us. We're to have that mind of a servant. We're to humble ourselves, be obedient unto death, even as Christ is was. We're reminded that it teaches that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. He's in charge of all things. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord and to the glory of the God, the Father. Goes on and says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Honor God. Do those things that he's told us to do and he'll bless us. Time and time, the scriptures remind us that. And he tells us to do all things without murmurings and disputations. Have a purpose to edify those around us, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're to let our light shine. In James, fourth chapter, first 12 verses or so, he tells us to repent of our sins, basically. He tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he gaveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So it goes on and says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to actively pursue the things and the teachings of Jesus Christ. He goes on in the scriptures and reminds us we have a need to repent of our sins, to forsake them. And there's not any of us that don't sin. So we have a continued need to repent of our sins daily. But he's telling us all to come unto Christ and be baptized and endure to the end in faithfulness, following the example of Jesus Christ, letting the Spirit of God work upon our hearts, resisting evil. And he'll bless us. We're admonished to use our talents and our time and our funds, if need be, prayers for our brothers and sisters, for edifying the body of Christ and those around us. We're to give our presence and our services, praying, giving testimonies, being united with the body of Christ, because it strengthens us. The Lord knows what the good that it does to us. That we might seek him first daily in our life. That we might come prepared to in our service to take notes or to give a testimony or look for testimonies that we know that are the blessings that the Lord has given. Consider the thoughts that have been given by the ministry and look within ourselves and say, what does that mean for me? How do I apply that in my life? Where is my weakness that I must overcome through Jesus Christ? Read the references given. I'm gonna read one that we all know, but I am going to read it. It's Moroni, seventh chapter, starting in verse 44 to the end. Last book, the Book of Mormon. Sorry, I didn't have the page number. It says, but behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that you have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if you have not faith in him, then you are not fit to be numbered among the people of the church, of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it you can obtain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it you should hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ, and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto eternal life. And this because of your faith in him, according to the promise. Do we have that hope of eternal life? I am sure we do. It goes on, wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, he cannot have any hope. And behold, and again, behold, I say unto you, that you cannot have faith and hope, say, shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, as faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. We've got to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to take time out in our life and meditate upon these things and apply them to our life. If a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. Consider this, what it is to have charity. And it says, and charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brother, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Whosoever cleaveth unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it dureth forever. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. What a wonderful promise. We are to suffer long. We're to be kind. We're not to envy. We're not to be prideful. We're not to seek our own or be easily provoked. We take to remove evil thoughts from our mind. Not rejoicing in iniquity, but rejoicing in truth. Bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things. Cleave unto charity. It says it'll be found well with us at the last day. And going on there in the reading, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart. All the energy of the heart that you may be filled with this love which he has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, you shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he. We're to pray for charity. We're to seek the will of God in our life. We're to remember that we have to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to allow that Spirit to work with us. We have to call on it. We have to listen to its still small voice. We have to separate ourselves from the world. And coming together, united with the body of Christ, fitly joined together to strengthen one another. We need to hear each other's prayers. We need to hear each other's testimonies. We need to have each other's presence in our service that we might be edified even by their presence, by their strength of their prayers and their thoughts. God has provided us. He has provided the local congregations as the body of Christ, as our family, and we're to come together. I mentioned those things that we're not to do. I'm going to rehash the things that he tells us to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord God with all thy heart. His first in our life. All our soul, all our mind, giving him our thoughts, and all our strength, both physical and spiritual. Love the neighbors as thy trust. Trust the Lord in all things, lest Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Have a mind of Christ, a mind to be a servant. Submit yourselves to God. Resist evil. Repent. Be baptized. Endure the end in faithfulness. And to pray for charity. We're to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ for his blessings upon us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Buzz. You know, so are we preparing ourselves? You know, it's a daily task, and we need to do it every day. We need to put our faith and trust in God, and so many good things were brought this day, reminders.